If you should happen to notice Jack up there anyway.
Yeah, all right.
Let me know, because I don't know how to approach.
Oh, yeah, she's a little bitty and oh, different Jackie, yeah. Yeah, okay, I will.
She's an alcoholic.
I will.
You know, I've talked to her on the phone all summer, but I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that she comes every Sunday. She said she was coming some.
Yeah, I don't think she'll be here, but
if you notice, because I think you put it over and whatever. Okay, thank you.
And it's not classical Greek, so, or modern Greek, so you can't replay them, and you can't do something Greek.
There's got to be something preachable about candles staying lit better near the cross.
Well, yeah, when the wind, dust in the wind.
Yeah, the green is here. She's in the second to the last pew on that side.
And the little green.
Yeah.
All right, let's
go. I may not ever get back there in time.
Good morning.
I don't know. I'll try.
Looking at you, Dennis.
Good morning. Oh, look, it's on. Hi.
Hi.
Happy Labor Day weekend. Announcements. So what sheets do you put on the bed?
The green ones.
Do you put the summer ones or the fall ones on? Or I'm going to tell you all this. When Kathy, here's the big announcement. When we had a little staff meeting, as we always do every day. Yes, your staff meets regularly. A little staff meeting, Kathy's office. Talking about the weather. Kathy said, yeah, it's supposed to snow. I immediately called her a liar. Yeah, who's sorry now? Then I immediately apologized. Well, it's nice to see you all here this morning. Thanks for being here. Speaking of announcements, the elders will meet Wednesday at 7 in the boardroom instead of, never mind, they're going to meet Wednesday. The Circle of Caring is not meeting tomorrow. They're going to meet next Monday. At their usual time. The Circle 3 of Disciples Women is having lunch Thursday at 11:30 at the Yellowstone Garage. If you're interested in that, please talk to Janie Nelson. And, oh, preschool. That's what I was going to tell y'all. Preschool. Open house is Tuesday, and preschool starts on Wednesday here. Lawn mowing, if you want to come and sit and meditate on a lawnmower, we can help you with that. And we do not need people to help with sandwiches this coming week. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I get a little confused beyond Friday. So we're going to leave it at that. Any other announcements this morning besides I'm freaking out about the snow? Well, actually, my head is. You know, 90 to 20 is a big temperature swing. So, well, let's begin our worship service this morning with the prelude. Arlen. Thank you, Arlen. We've missed you. It seems like you've been gone. Or maybe I've just not been paying attention. Well, anyway, thank you very much. Would you please stand and join me in the call to worship, please? As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God.
My soul thirsts for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?
My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul.
How I led the,
Let
the throng the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude celebrating the festival.
Let us give thanks to God.
We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
Our opening hymn this morning is All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
God is here. God is here sitting next to each of us in our places. God is the one who brought each of us here. Whether we know how that happened or not, we are here. Yes, the weather is changing and God will be with us through every degree. God is with us in our moments with one another, those we know well, those we don't know so well, but we are all here as part of God's people. Join me, please, in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our special music this morning is right back there, Bob Malloy, and he will be playing a piece by Bach. That's all I could remember, Bob. It's the best I could do. Thank you for being here. Thank you, Bob. Let's see. And now as we come to our time of joys and concerns. Let's see. We want to remember Keith Rouse has a friend at school whose name is John, and his mother is dying, and so he has asked us to pray for his friend John. We want to remember Connor Goodman. I'm not sure if he has been moved yet. He's been quarantining at the Natrona County Detention Center before he's moved someplace else, so please remember Connor and Carmen in your prayers. Let's see. Monica's had a pretty good week, last I checked. So that's good. Are there other joys and concerns to share this morning? Trudy. School has started, so that is a joy, a concern, and everything in between for our students and our parents and our teachers. How was your first week, Arlen?
Pretty good so far.
Pretty good so far. Good. And you're teaching, what are you teaching this year?
Orchestra and choir.
Choir is a bit of a challenge, maybe? No?
More of a challenge than orchestra.
More of a challenge. Choir is more of a challenge than orchestra. So we continue to remember our teachers and our students. Others? Debbie? Thank you. And our preschool families. I'm sitting here trying to remember what I'm trying to remember. Our preschool families. Let's join together in prayer. Gracious God, for the irresistible gift of being alive. Eyes that can see, mouths that can speak, and ears to hear. God, we are grateful to you. For the magnificent gift of those we love. For the laughter and the sorrow of being together. Even when we fail to love one another as we should, even then, O God, for the unmatched gift of loving and being loved, we are grateful to you. Because we would have you surround us as tangibly as our own skin, because we would have you embrace us as our own loved ones and speak to us words of admonition and correction and love. Because we want to hear your voice, we are here this morning. Because each of us wants to know himself, herself as a member of the body of Christ, whose birth and life and death and resurrection we remember and celebrate this day. Because we worship and sing and pray and live in the name of your child, we have come here today. And because there are parts of us that are unacceptable and unlovable and weak and full of betrayal, we are here, God. Forgive in us what we are unable to forgive in ourselves, because there are injuries that each of us carries, damage done to us by others, damage we've done to ourselves, physical, mental, and emotional. Because we seek reparation and healing, we come to this place today, O God. Because when we sing together, our hands and our feet and our minds are enthused to do your work, we are here this morning. And because you have called us to be partners in the care of your world and your people, we are here this morning and place before you those joys we celebrate and those concerns that we hold deep within us. Thanks be to you, O God, for the gift of being here this day. Amen. Thank you.
Each week, we share communion. We take communion. We partake of communion. Someone new to our ways might wonder what this sharing and taking and partaking really mean. When we join in communion, we recommit to living with the ongoing presence and strength of Jesus. The symbols of the wine and bread at this communion table in the front of our church encourage our continuing spiritual growth, the kind that calms and quiets our souls. With the wafers and the little cups of juice that we all have, we are connecting ourselves once again to the salvation offered through Jesus Christ. You are invited to join us at this communion table, which is open to anyone and everyone who knows and believes in Jesus. We have a hymn that will be on the screen that we'd like to sing together, Break Thou the Bread of Life.
And on the night before he died, Jesus sat down to eat supper with his friends. And while they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, he broke it, he gave thanks, and he gave it to them, and he said, "This is my body that is given for you. Every time you eat this, remember me." And then he took a cup, saying, "This is the new covenant which is for you. Every time you drink this, remember me."
Let us pray. O God of our salvation, we often seek you in the mountains, by water, and in storms, but at this moment we are so grateful for this special time in worship of silent shared communion with you. You understand our hearts better than we do. You know our needs before we can fully acknowledge them, and you guide our search for your wisdom and love. We ask you for so many things every day, and we truly thank you for your very presence in the lives that we seek to live in your name. Amen. This time of offering, we remember that every day we are blessed to receive spiritual and material gifts from our God and from all creation. Let us now, at this moment, be blessed by giving our tithes and offerings to serve God's will. Let us pray. Eternal and giving God, we are grateful for your abiding love and for all that you offer us. Please accept this offering of ourselves and our gifts as a sign of our quiet trust and continuing faith in you. We pray that you will direct the use of our lives and these gifts toward the fulfillment of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm looking at you. Because it's so easy. Psalm 131. For those of you who haven't been here in a while, Dennis hates Psalms, so you know we have to say something about that every time we read one. Calling you out in class, mister. Psalm 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother, my soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. Beyond the sacred page, I will seek thee, Lord. So this is the last big weekend of summer. Yay. It's different this year with that whole pandemic thing we've still got going on, but make no mistake, the world is recovering. This beautiful city is recovering, but we are still in the midst of an ongoing pandemic. We're getting better, but not completely well yet. I know we don't like it. I know we're all frustrated with it and growing more so each day as the world feels better, as the city feels better. I am particularly frustrated with it. I am as tired and as weary of this way of being as anyone, and I just want to stomp my feet and go, you know, like a little kid, I'm done with this. Because I have things to do, people I want to see. I have a new baby in Oakland, California I want to go see. My daughter by another mother. Henry is 8 days old, and I need my hands on that child. But that's not going to happen because of the pandemic. I have places I want to go. My summer always includes family visits across the country, whether in Virginia or Washington State, Colorado, and maybe next year in Florida now. And it also includes camping trips across America. I tell people I have never been to Europe, but I have seen America. I have seen America. We camped in Ohio or Oregon, California, where my favorite campground has just been burned to the ground. Washington State and Utah. Utah is one of our favorite places. No matter where we've lived in the country, we've always driven to Utah to go camping. John and I had a trip planned back to Bryce Canyon National Park next month with some friends, but of course we had to cancel that earlier this summer because of COVID and because my friend has an autoimmune disease and she's in quarantine, and she says until the 12th of never, she thinks. So it feels like. Bryce Canyon is one of my favorite places to be on this planet. It fills and restores my interior landscape, I call it, my spirit, my soul, in ways that are better expressed by size than by words. Do you all have places like that? Those places where your whole being just turns to holy mush. I call it holy mush, by simply being present and attentive in that place. Holy mush, a way of being in sacred space. Y'all been around me long enough to know I don't do mornings very well. Well, it was early, early in the morning, and the sun had not yet come up. Hava, Tova, John, and I were all asleep in our very small yet very peaceful room in the lodge at Bryce Canyon National Park in southern Utah. It's still dark outside, and I hear some strange buzzing sound, and not moving, I listen for just a minute, and I dismiss it as nothing, probably just my ears making a noise. But then John rustles, and he gets up. I roll over and fall back to sleep, as is my custom. A few more minutes of peaceful sleep, and suddenly I hear, "Okay, everybody, get up. The sun's going to be up pretty soon." John, it seems, has gotten up to see the sunrise over Bryce Canyon, and apparently he intends to take his entire family with him. I open just one eye and glance at the clock. It is 5:55 a.m. I do not see that time of day. He turns on the light. Sunrise is at 6:18. I grab Hava's blanket and throw it over my eyes, and he yells, "Everybody up!" I want to do bodily harm to him. I do. I do. Many things are contemplated, but instead I merely yell in my nasty morning voice that he is accustomed to. "The ranger said the sky would be just as nice at 7 a.m. I am not getting up. I'll be out there somewhere around 7. Disgusted, I roll over and try to get back to sleep. Well, John, being the kind man that he is, he doesn't say anything more. He just continues to get dressed. And I lay there for another minute, angry at this wave of guilt that is now overcoming me. So I slowly roll out of bed and shake the girls. Come on, girls. Come on, everybody. Get up. We're going to go see the sunrise. We get up, dressed, and head out the door. It is 6:10 a.m. It's chilly outside in the darkness of early morning, but there's not a cloud in the sky. Hava and I sit down on a bench near the rim, while John and Tova take a short hike up to Sunrise Point, where a small crowd has gathered. We sit in darkness, wiping sleep from our eyes, and then I could swear I heard a voice whispering in my ear, "Let there be light." Yes, let there be light. Ah, that's good. That is good. And there was morning that first day. Once the sun is up, Tova and John return to the bench and, as I do often, mea culpa. Thank you, John. You were right. It was breathtaking. So we all sit on the bench, and as never happens, we are quiet together for a moment or two, watching the sun do its morning stretch across the edge of the high desert with its brilliant colors of yellow and orange and pinks and reds all fading together as they peek through the hoodoos and the canyons and the arches right there in front of us. We sit together in the stillness, listening to the murmurs of the crowd as they make their way back towards the lodge or the campground for breakfast and coffee over a campfire. We sit unusually silent for a bit more, watching, listening, and waiting and breathing in the crisp, fresh air of this brand new day. We decide now is a good time to hike the canyon. It is 6:30 a.m. So we quickly walk back to our room at the lodge. We grab our new hiking sticks, which were bought as a bribe for our youngest child. Maybe she will make her way up and down the canyon on her own. Yeah, that never worked. But we grab our new sticks, our day packs, and a bunch of water, and head out to the Queen's Garden Trail and the Navajo Loop Trail through the canyon that, you know, is actually just a big old pothole. It's a quick descent into the canyon. The folks ahead of us have disappeared just around the bend, and for a moment, we are alone nearing the canyon floor. Hava is just a few yards back with her dad, and I move deeper down into the canyon to catch up with Tova, who is almost 15. "Listen," she says to me. I said, "What? What?" She says, "You don't hear that at home." Always been a little dense, I have. "What?" "The silence." So we close our eyes and tilt our faces up to the sky and our ears to the heavens, listening to the silence of the canyon. "You know, Tova, this is where God lives. There's a story in the Bible about Elijah." Jezebel is after him and wants to kill him, so he runs off into the wilderness, into that God-forsaken place, the desert. After about a day's journey, he is tired and he is hot, and he sits down under the only tree he finds. Hot, tired, hungry, thirsty, discouraged, and weak, Elijah thinks it would be better if he just died than live any longer in the parched, barren, dangerous wilderness, and he falls asleep with that on his mind. An angel of the Lord wakes him. The angel of the Lord has other ideas for Elijah, gives him food and drink, and Elijah rests some more. The angel comes again with food and drink so that Elijah will be strong enough for his journey to Mount Horeb, which is also called Sinai, the mountain of God. Now rested and strong, Elijah continues his journey in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, until at last he comes to Mount Horeb. Elijah spent the night in the cave, and when he wakes, he hears a voice, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant and thrown down your altars and killed your prophets. I alone am left, and they are seeking to kill me." The voice said, "Go out of the cave and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard the silence, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then the voice of God came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is where God lives, Tova. God lives in the silence. Mom, if God lives here, what does he do hanging around here all day? God is waiting for us to be quiet enough to notice he's already here. Okay. And she continued her hike down the canyon, listening, being present in that silence. The story of Elijah on Mount Horeb tells us many things. And one of the most important, I believe, is that God is not in all the noise that the world throws at us. We may not realize it, but we talk like we don't agree with that. Or like we don't agree with the writer of 1 Kings that the story is wrong. We don't think it through, I think, because we talk like God is somehow in that everything. You know, people say there's a reason for everything. Some of us say there's a reason for everything. That's the part we don't think through. God is in that everything. God is responsible for that everything. If there's a reason, that's what we mean. Everything happens for a reason. Well, then the reason must be God's alone, because we don't understand it. Natural disasters, wind, earthquake, and fire, those acts of God. And the unnatural disasters, accidents, and things that just happen. But that's not what Elijah learns here. Elijah is told that God is not in all of that stuff. God is near and waiting for us in our quiet places, not in the noise, not in the wind, the hurricane, the fire, the disasters. That's not God. God is waiting in the quiet. I got to thinking about this, and I thought, as much as I am tired and done and cannot stand this pandemic, perhaps that's one of the gifts that it has offered us. This ongoing pandemic has forced many of us to slow down. And in slowing down, it has allowed us to rediscover attentiveness, to rediscover where our attention needs to be focused. I spend way too much time staring at the television these days. It's a pandemic thing. Anybody else? Spend too much time doing a whole lot of nothing. But this summer, as I'm still in mourning over the loss of Bryce Canyon this year, I've noticed that if I just turn my head slightly to the right in my apartment and turn off at least the sound of the television, which seems to be always on nowadays, there's a lovely tree right outside the sliding glass door. And the wind moves through its leaves. And if I open the sliding glass door and sit out on the little patio there, I can forget the pandemic. And for a while, I can see and I can hear and I can feel the evening breeze moving through my little corner of the world, and I can remember that our God is one who likes to take a walk in the evening breeze. I can remember that God is there, present in that quiet moment, waiting for me to take notice, to be attentive, so we can sit together just for a few minutes, and it quiets me. What are you doing here, Karen? I don't know. Just trying to remember who I am, who you are, for a minute. It's just like Bryce Canyon, and I've become holy mush, even for a bit, in a very unexpected place. But that's where God always turns up, isn't it? In those unexpected places. Where is your sacred place to sit, to be present with God? It's different for everybody. It is different for all of us. Watching Frozen 2 for the gazillionth time, sitting in between your children, there is an unmistakable quiet that can come with that. Riding a bike through the mountains. Walking along the river, mists of the morning, the breeze of the evening. Accompanying your best friend through the neighborhood while he visits his friends and your neighbors. Don't forget to bake the bag. Laughing or crying together with family over Zoom, over FaceTime, over Duo on your phone. Listening to the water flow down the stream, fishing, grandma's house, sitting in front of a sewing machine, out in a wood shop. We all have our places that are sacred. And if we attend to the silence in those places, the quiet, we'll find out that God is right there. And so as we move into September and into the fall, into the return of school, and we continue this ever-changing quest for normal, whatever that's going to be. Think about your sacred places. Remember to be still and look around and look near. Like Elijah at the cave entrance, and like Tova, the bottom of Bryce Canyon, after the noise, under the noise, in the quiet, you will hear a still, small voice. I've been waiting for you. What are you doing here, friend? What are you doing here? Let us pray. Silently now we wait for thee, O God, ready to see your will. Open our hearts and show us the way. Spirit divine. Amen. As we take our leave of each other this day, would you please stand as we sing, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as we go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
Very